I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is the 2023 roundup episode. We're going to round up our top five moments from this year on Private Parts. I mean, it's been an amazing year. Thank you to every single person who has listened to us. And these are some of the best bits. I'm here with Tom Lucy. What do you think? What are your
Hello there.
What are your favourite bits from the year?
My favourite bits from the year. I'm normally only here on the bonus eps, but alas, I enjoyed Tim Key.
Oh.
Very much.
Loved
him. One of my favourite men in the world. I think you had I enjoyed the wedding special.
Yeah.
After the wedding.
That was great.
We debriefed the wedding.
That was great. That was fantastic.
You've had some great guests.
I've had some great guests. Well, listen, Tom, to kick things off, we're going to do five to one. Of our top clips. And in number five,
In at five.
It's Millie McIntosh. In this clip, she talks about when she first dated Hugo Taylor.
Huge.
And getting back together. We reminisce on Made in Chelsea, and she tells me the unique way she got cast for the show.
Ugh, it's right up my street.
Here it is. So you and Hugo dated for a bit, and you loved him. You probably loved him. Why didn't you guys then connect back then? What happened?
Well, I mean, I don't want to go like too much back through old show history, babe, but like...
Okay.
I think you know what happened.
Oh.
Didn't end that well.
Wow.
But we were young, like, you know, we both changed a lot in the years after that.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But you know, we've known each other for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Literally for like over half my life, because I think I met him when I was about 15.
Yeah.
15, 16. And you know, we weren't in the right place to be together then. Like, we, you know, we had that short relationship. It wasn't very equal. I think I was probably more into him than he was into me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, see, we broke up. We were both in relationships with other people.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't speak for years.
Mm-hmm. What was that moment when you reconnected?
It was like we started speaking again as friends after seeing each other at a friend's wedding.
Okay.
And it was just quite nice to have that person like back in my life that was like so familiar that I knew.
Yeah.
And he'd just been through quite a bad breakup. I was going through a bad breakup, and we would just like speak as friends. And then that just developed into something romantic. And then the rest is history.
When you first hooked up again,
Was it electric?
It was like teenagers again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? When there's so much like...
You've had that like... Yeah.
Because also, weirdly, I've said this before, but when Sophie and I were friends.
Okay.
And then...
How did you get together with Sophie? She is a catch, can I just
say? She's such a catch. Yeah. Sophie and I were friends, and then we went to South Africa together.
Just friends.
We were just really, really good friends. I felt awkward around her a lot of the time. I was like, why do I feel awkward? I didn't really know. It's because I obviously fancied her or something. And then when we went to South Africa together on this trip, she walked out in a bikini, and I was like, my God, she's a chick. She's hot.
But
I hadn't noticed it because she was my friend.
Okay.
And then we shared a bed together. And I remember one night she rolled over. She was wearing a thong. And I was suddenly so like, I was like, oh my God. I couldn't believe it. I was like so turned on. And I was like, okay, I must really fancy her. And then when we first hooked up, it was like the most electric thing because I think it was like friendship and this and that and all coming down. So you must have the same thing with Hugo,
when
right?
you've got the friendship like at the basis of like the base of the relationship. Mm. I think it just goes so much deeper.
Mm.
And like we are like best friends now, and that is an amazing thing to have when you're parenting, and that can be difficult, but I feel like we've got that foundation, and so it is like teamwork, and you could just...
And the respect.
You know, yeah.
The respect for each other, right, that you have. You know, it's funny with MIC, right? I don't want to go back into the old show, but you only did that for 2 years. But still people would go, Millie, MIC. Same with Jamie and MIC, but things like that. But still people remember you on that. Is that annoying for you or not annoying? What do you think?
I mean, I meet people all the time, like, who... I mean, not every day, but definitely, like, every week. I would say out and about, someone will come up to me and be like, Millie, I loved you on the show, or... Yeah. People say to me, they're like, I loved it when you slapped Spencer. I'm like, oh God, definitely don't. I don't condone violence at all.
Why do you have to say that? Of course, it's not violence. You slapped some bellend who was being annoying.
He was not acting in a very nice way. I was standing up for my friend, in my defense.
It's actually one of the most iconic.
But I think because I
television
had
scenes ever.
Quite a lot of these like... these moments that were not scripted. They weren't, you know, it was very real.
Mm.
There were things that I went through on camera that were very painful for me. I didn't shy away from that. And I think that people connect with that because they were like real moments that they might have gone through, or they might have experienced something similar, that kind of heartbreak or betrayal, or, you know, that whether it's with a boyfriend or with a friend. And I think that's why
people
remember it. So I never look back on the show with any resentment, or, you know, I don't get annoyed that people bring it up, because I think there's no point like fighting it. Like, yes, I am known from this reality show, and like, what an amazing thing to be a part of.
I love that. Yeah.
And like,
I'm the same as you.
What a great platform. Someone said to me once, like, do you feel like they exploited you? And I was like, no more than I exploited them right back.
Because it was a business from the beginning.
Yeah,
it's a platform, and it's what
you do with it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think I spoke to Kags about this, but what was your, how were you, because you were the original. You were one of the absolute originals.
Were you not?
No, I was season two. I just rocked in.
Late arrival,
baby, and I rocked in. Hey, how you doing, everyone? Just thinking I was an absolute boss. Just wasn't. Oh my God. It was honestly, also, I didn't get the show for like a year. I was like, wait, so it's like, what, we have to do like this?
What do you want me to talk about?
I remember they said you should kiss Louise in the scene. And I was like, really? Like, what is it? She doesn't want to. She's like, oh no, she will. It's like, how do you know she does? I just didn't get the concept of it. But how were you approached at the very beginning? Did someone just basically say, how did it happen with you?
So they were actually interviewing my flatmate.
Yeah.
Who didn't end up doing the show. One of my oldest school friends.
Who is that? Do I know?
You don't know her. I live with at the time. And you know how when they were looking for the cast of the show, they had their like key people. I think it was like Rosie, Spencer, Hugo, maybe Francis. They were
maybe,
like already involved.
Yeah.
And then they looked at like everyone else they knew and like researched all of their friends on Facebook and that kind of thing. So they would have all these other names that they were like linked to these people, and they wanted to meet them to see if they'd be like good on the show. Anyways, my friend was being interviewed, and I ran in the room. Didn't know that she was being interviewed, and I had like one thigh high boot on and one like high heel. I was in my underwear, and I was like, I'm going on a date. Which shoe is better? And the producer was like, who are you, basically, and was like, you need to see the show.
So wait, hang on. So you were in your underwear.
Yeah.
With a thigh high boot on. And a heel on.
And a heel on.
And you run in front of the camera.
And I was like, you know, I'm going on a date. Which shoe is like, you know, the best look with like which what I was going to wear? And yeah, the producer was just like, okay, you look fun. Like, let's get you.
You look fun.
Let's get you. You look like trouble.
Yeah, you look fun. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm good. I was already in the process of, I wanted to be on Britain and Ireland's Next Top Model.
Did you?
And I was like,
I remember this.
Potentially going to do that show.
Yeah.
And then when I didn't get in, I got through to like nearly the final round when you make it into the show, and then I didn't get in.
Mm.
And then I was like, okay, maybe this could be like a good opportunity. So, and I'm so glad that it worked out that way.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
That was great.
Oh, okay.
Love Millie.
Love Millie. Okay, well, listen, another person you're going to love, and coming in at number four, GK Barry.
GK Barry.
GK Barry, Saving Grace podcast.
Yep.
In this clip, she speaks about how quickly her TikTok following grew and the moment that she realized she could do it as a career.
Mm, yeah.
This is huge. Grace was an amazing guest. Here is our clip at number four.
Have you ever made a sex tape?
I got a whole archive, mate.
Yeah, I'm scared. Yeah. To be fair, if I break up my boyfriend now, that could be all plastered everywhere.
What?
They'd be like, she's just got a really long back. Yeah, there's no ass. I'm like, oh.
Does it have to be with another person for it to be a sex tape?
Well, that's just wanking. You got wanking videos.
I've got loads of them.
Wait, yeah. Why is it just of your back? Why is it?
I mean, you don't want your face in it, do you? Like, as soon as the camera's in my face, I'm like, down.
Is that your porn name, Long Back?
Yeah, Long Bottom.
Have you got a sex tape?
That is so...
I think you should make one for the marriage.
Oh, what, make a sex tape with
yeah.
And you can release it on the pod.
Maybe we should do that.
Yeah, just the sound.
Just the audio.
We spoke about this.
Of me
audio.
Just going...
Oh, he's a grunter, I know it.
Not a grunter.
He's a grunter, yeah, it's fine.
I know.
Just embrace it.
My sex tape might be more like...
We've done this so many times.
Oh my God, so you are a grunter. How can you just grunt and then say you're not a grunter?
Okay, here we go. What is it like? Oh my God, I'm cringing. Right,
okay, set the scene up. What stage of the...
Yeah, good point.
Well, all of this is quite quick.
Are you at, like, okay. Like, so you're 30 seconds in, you're about to come, go.
Oh, so I'm about to. No.
Oh, that lasted longer than I thought.
Is announcing it bad?
I'm about to come now.
I mean, if it's that quick, you probably should announce it. You should pre-warn that.
But don't boys announce it, don't they?
Yeah.
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 What,
yeah.
Like on a tannoy? Just to let you know, I will be coming shortly. I know you're feeling vastly underwhelmed and you're probably not going to call me again. But get ready anyway.
Vastly underwhelmed.
Because it's coming.
I think boys do.
Yeah, I think boys do.
What, announce it?
Yeah. I think so. I think that's what happens. I don't know. But also I feel like I feel like for boys, it's a bit more intimidating when they go into sex, especially when you're younger. Because it's like...
Are you having sex with gladiators or something?
No. Yeah.
Because you don't really know what you're... doing. It's much harder. I mean
I'm a woman, I just lay there, don't I, so it's actually very easy for me and I just, you know, have a great time. But to be fair, I've heard of men sticking in the wrong holes when they like lose their virginity or accidentally go into the cheeks thinking it is the hole, so it is tough for you guys out there.
It's tough
too.
Great. Also, how many followers do you have on TikTok now?
2.8 million.
That's wild.
Yeah. And I think, imagine if accidentally, like, I put a nude or something on there by accident. 2.8 mil will see that.
Do a jousey.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. No one would. They'd ask for their money back. They'd be like, I'm deleting
it. Oh, wait,
that.
Did he sell it?
Yeah, it was on OnlyFans.
Yeah, it's on OnlyFans.
He sold the sex tape.
God forbid I ever get on that site.
Wow.
That's where you know it's gone downhill.
Where are
we
heading?
What?
Yeah.
But wait, hang just quickly. With the 2.8, and I'm sure you've been asked this before, when did it start to, like, pop? Because that's a lot of followers.
Well, to be fair, I was talking to my friends about this the other day because they were like, oh, we didn't really know how long it would last. Like, you were getting some viral videos, you hit like 100K, but we thought it was like a one-hit wonder. Do you know what I mean? Like a lockdown thing. And then I hit a mil. I just blew up in like 4 months after I'd hit 200K. And then I was like, right. I've got it now. Do you know what I mean? This is it. So then I think from there I was like, okay, yeah, this is like a career surely.
Did it just suddenly just go?
No, it literally had 200K, took me like 6 months or whatever. And then from December to March, went to 1 million.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. But I was like consistently posting and like saying the most like outrageous stories to try and get up there.
Because you suddenly clicked onto this thing. It was like you just tell outrageous stories and do it that way.
That I found my niche.
Really?
Yeah, and then I was like, right. Because I'm not a dancer. Like, I'm not Addison Rae. You'd never find me like...
just popping.
Yeah.
Thank God. I did the dancing thing.
I don't get it. Too much. It gives me...
talk about your arsehole. Come on.
Yeah, no,
much
exactly.
Better.
Have some self-respect. Talk about your arsehole. Right.
Yeah, but...
life short.
Stop gyrating.
Yeah. Please.
But that's also like unique, right? Because... TikTok was this thing for dancing, but then you changed and just started just like narrating on it, like telling stories.
It was so weird because I remember I was like, I'm not downloading that app. That's really embarrassing. It's for dancers. And then I downloaded it and I was like, right. Because like, you could do anything. Right. Like I saw Eden Harves doing like eating videos. So she'd eat and talk to people. And I was like, oh, like, fine. I guess you can do like whatever you want. So then I'd be doing like embarrassing stories. And then if you violate yourself, turns out other people also have violations about themselves as well, so you bond over it.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah. Because I feel like before, I've never seen anyone be really open and be like, say just awful, embarrassing things about themselves. So I feel like maybe that's where my following came from, because they were like, oh, we get that too.
Fuck, that's
you're
what
embarrassing
it,
people
so
do.
Wait, so what is the most embarrassing thing that you said on TikTok or the most revealing thing?
Oh my God, like it has to, it's just like stupid stuff like, oh, I don't even hate it. Just like getting chlamydia by accident, farting on my boyfriend's head by accident. When I was
getting
asleep.
Chlamydia by accident. I don't think anyone gets it on purpose.
I mean, yeah. I didn't mean to get it. Do you know what I mean? But like, yeah, just like awful. Because like, and my parents didn't watch my stuff before because they didn't know. They still don't understand. They're like, toxic. And I'm like, don't worry about it. But
toxic.
So I was just like, no one will see it. And I started blowing up and I was like, my God, this is on the internet forever. Yeah. And it's still there.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Okay, number three. Guess who it is? You're never going to guess.
All I do each night is pray.
Who's that?
Thinking, take that.
No, it's not take that. Number four was GK Barry, and as everyone's listening to this, now number three of our top five clips of the year, we have Olivia Attwood.
Ah, of course.
Oh my God, Olivia Attwood in this clip, she tells us about being forced to quit I'm a Celeb on medical grounds and how she cried the whole flight home. It's a real good one for the new year.
Sounds very upbeat.
Here we go, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Get your tissues
get
ready.
Get it in my fucking ears.
Here we go. But I think also, like, dude, you are so busy with everything that's going on. And, like, I suppose what I find is so awesome from my side is you obviously came from Love Island. I did main Chelsea, things like that. You have that kind of thing sometimes, like in Hermes, where people blacklist you straight away. They go, see you later. Yeah. You're from this show. I had it for ages. You, I'm sure, had it at certain times. And it's I love it when you see people break through from that and become mainstream and just kick butt in that area. And that's totally what you're doing now with your documentaries and stuff like that. And I was, Sophie and I were so excited. I sent you a message before you went into the jungle. I was like, you're going to kill this. And I was so excited to watch you do it. And then obviously it didn't work out. I saw you do an interview. What happened there?
Honestly, there's like nothing to say that hasn't already been said.
Really?
I'm still in my mind.
Did you get a text?
What? That's the worst joke.
I
was like, from Harrods?
She's like, sorry guys, I've got to leave. They've called me up.
That's how they should have done it. Yeah. A bit less messy. But it was basically a massive fuck up, really. Like, I was in there, everything was fine. They do routine medicals like every 2-3 days, but they do them like on site with the paramedics with this like equipment that's like, you know, your big hospitals would say that's like a guideline.
Yeah.
And we had a really, really long day. I'm always on like a lower end of blood pressure anyway, because I'm like tall and slim.
Yeah.
I know they just did all these tests. It was late one evening and I'd only been in main camp for the day and part of the evening. And then, they just were like, they were worried about the results. They were like, blood pressure's low, potassium, everything was really low. And then they took me to like a local private hospital about sort of 40 minutes away. They retested me and they were like, we're happy. So then we had an overnight debate because the insurance were like, we have these tests saying that it dropped this low. The hospital was saying, yeah, but those machines sometimes you take it with a pinch of salt. Yeah. And their insurance was like, no, because we have this in writing. We couldn't possibly insure her because now we bring her back in and then she faints and hits her head on the log. We have no cover. So it's basically a red tape issue, even though I was fine.
Yeah, that's the worst.
So annoying.
How many tears were there?
Oh my God. And like, you bear in mind, I don't cry. Like, I'm like Cameron Diaz from The Holiday. Like, just cannot get those tears out. And I cried the whole way back from Australia, the whole flight. The telly even went on. I stared at the ceiling for like, 24 hours crying. But, there was tears from like the exec producer, like all those guys I worked with on Love Island, they were my Love Island producers and they wanted me on the show so bad. And they tried, it was a whole night. We were all awake all through the night where they tried to see any way they could wrangle it. Then I'd broken the COVID bubble and it was like, we'd have to quarantine for 6 days and the format doesn't really support that. There was so many issues. It was just like,
when something like that gets taken away from you. Yeah. Because you basically, I when I did Strictly and I hurt my foot, I did the first year. So it got taken. It got taken away from me. It's so strange. It sounds so weird, right? But it's career. It's all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're in a dream. You're like, this can't be happening.
Yeah, that's like, really what it feels like.
Yeah. And you're like, no, I got to wake up now. Come on, let's wake up. Cause it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
When they said, look, you're not going to go back in. You then straight away you go into that bad space, right? Where you just think, is that what happened to you? Is that where you went?
It's like that thing you say didn't feel real. I think because I'd wanted to do the show for so many years, it always felt like it was out of my reach because they always were very much like, we're not putting Love Island in the jungle. They made that really clear. So it was kind of like I built it up to be this thing. It's a massive thing anyway. It's the biggest show on telly, but I definitely made it bigger in my mind.
Mm.
And then obviously to be in there, and then it's like the whole emotional roller coaster. You have like this long 12-day quarantine, no phone, no laptop, on your own in a house. So you're isolated, you're already getting homesick. So you're kind of like low there. Then you go in, jump out a fucking helicopter, adroenaline, like everything goes through the roof, having a good time. And then it's like this crash again. So it was like just the extreme highs and lows over those weeks, Like I just couldn't. I could process it. Obviously, I've, get on with it, but it was very hard to process. And I think for, people listening, and I know definitely before I got into this interview, I heard someone, I'd be like, oh, do you know what? Shut up. Like, people are dying. And yeah, of course they fucking are. It's not the biggest thing in the world. There's way more shit going on. Do you know what I mean? But for me, just personally in that moment, it's tough.
It's relative as well.
And like you said, it's like Love Island, honestly, I'm never going to be one of those people that turn my back on Love Island. Like that show, opens so many doors for me. It's insane. But also it does shut a lot in a weird way. Because like you say, when you come with that reality TV tag, there's a lot of people out there, production companies, PR things that are like, no, no, no. So it's like, to go back and do something mainstream, a family show, and I'm going to show people that don't know me, I'm not this like airhead, I get my hands dirty, I'll give everything a go. And my thing was like, and now all those people are going to think, I just took one look around and was like, fuck this. Because that's what you think, isn't it? That's what everyone thinks. And I was like, and I think on the whole, most people know that's not true. They saw what I was like in those first couple of eps and I was loving it. And I desperately wanted to stay. I would have done anything to stay. So that, I think people know that's not the case, but that was obviously the fear that came over me and was like, now I just look like a dickhead.
Wow. You liked that crying, didn't you?
I love crying.
Crying's a great release.
I find it very
arousing.
I find it very uplifting.
Okay, number two on our list of the top five moments of 2023, we have Miss Lucy Watson, or Mrs. Lucy Dumont, or Mrs. Lucy Watson. Okay, in this clip, we talk about cheating, and we also talk about what each other's strengths and weaknesses are. Okay. You ready for this?
I've never been more ready.
At number two, it's Lucy Watson. Have you ever cheated before?
Oh my God, you always ask me this.
When do I ever ask you this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I have.
You're so happy about that.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yes,
Who did you cheat on?
I cheated on my first boyfriend.
Shit. He's going to be watching.
He knows.
He knows. How did you tell him?
He knows it was his brother.
How did I tell him? I actually used it as leverage. To find out who he cheated on me with.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Because I knew that he had. People were telling me, but he just wouldn't. He was kind of, no offense, but like you with the whole lying thing, he was going to take it to the grave. And like everyone was telling me, and I was like, he is never going to fucking tell me this. And then I used it as leverage.
So you then went away and cheated?
Yeah.
Oh my. Business,
I didn't actually go anywhere. I stayed in my house and cheated. But yes, I did.
You stayed at your house and cheated?
They came to me.
A little bit incestuous.
They came to you.
I didn't have to go anywhere. But anyway,
it was my
dad. Point is
a prostitute. It's a cool boy.
You really want to know?
Fucking hell. But yes, and it worked.
It did.
I was, you know, asking and asking and asking. I've never done that. I would never do that. Do you? And then I was like, well, I've done it. So, I'll tell you who with if you fucking own up to your shit. It just came out floods.
Oh, did it really?
Yes, immediately.
He said it straight away.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. The panic and the tears just arrived immediately at the thought that I could possibly do such a thing.
That is so strange that you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
What do you think your superpower is? Everyone has a superpower. What do you think your superpower is?
Finding weaknesses in people.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Explain that.
I can see a weakness in someone from meeting them.
Get out of here.
A few minutes. Yeah.
Give it. Okay, go on. Give it over.
I'm not going to do it.
I'm hard-skinned. I can take anything
you
want.
No, I don't think you're that hard-skinned.
Oh my God, are you joking? I can take anything. Go on, give it to me.
No, Jamie, I can't.
Oh, what? You can't just say a superpower and then not give it to
because
me.
Because I know it's almost like an evil power. It's almost like...
Do you think it is?
Yeah. It's quite bad. It can be very manipulative, I think, if you use it too.
That's the strongest power. Because someone asked me once what the greatest power is. It's the power of persuasion, which is manipulation.
I think I have that.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. What's yours?
Mine's not that. What is my superpower? I think my superpower...
Yours is, Jamie.
No, not persuasion. Yeah, I can do that. But no, mine's not. I think I'm pretty good at... I'm pretty good at communication. I would say in most scenarios, I can communicate pretty well. I would say that, something along those lines.
Are there any in the Marvel world that are narcissists? I can't remember. Is any whose superpower is just like...
I'm not a narcissist. I know you think I'm not a narcissist at all. I'm too self-conscious.
You're actually not a narcissist.
No ways. I'm the opposite. I'm too concerned and people-pleasing to be a narcissist.
Yeah.
Millie, what's your superpower?
Being blissfully unaware.
Yeah. It is actually.
No. I'm not blissfully unaware.
I think you have super intelligence, don't you?
Misconception. Sorry. I'll take it.
No, I swear you're like super intelligent. I swear I've had conversations with you before and I've been like quite surprised by how intelligent you are.
There we go.
Wait, hang on.
You know a lot.
And you can spot weakness.
Yeah, I know.
You know a lot, right?
I know some things. Super intelligent.
You know some things.
It's so funny. That it's so interesting. You think you can spot weaknesses.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Okay. Wow.
What is James's weakness, your husband?
I'm not going to talk about James's weakness.
Why not? I think it's interesting. What is it? What's your weakness then? Come, what's your weakness?
What's my weakness? Probably my compassion.
Oh, well, you think that's too vulnerable?
My strength and my weakness at times. It just causes me a lot of emotional stress, I think, because I've had so much compassion for others.
Really?
Mainly animals.
It's so funny because, again, going back to our original conversation about May and Chelsea, people perceive you as someone who didn't have compassion.
I know.
But you do. You're yeah. total opposite.
It's
to what
overwhelming.
People-
and it's something I've learned to control, because I think there's so much evil in the world that if you like allow it to enter your brain too much, it can be,
like
it
Midden,
can really take
like
you down, really take you down. And I try to
You have to pick your battles,
numb it.
Right? You can't take on the whole fight.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
I mean?
But that's because what Mitt, you have that as well. You have a lot of compassion. And Mitt then can get caught up in it quite a lot. He can get annoyed by things and things. And if he reads too much news, he gets consumed by it. And I think a lot of people as well would have that. But you can push that apart for some reason.
I actually could see that from you.
The fuck, where am I in this conversation?
No, you...
What?
You...
What?
You are quite selfish.
Yeah, I am selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that we're going to stop there? All right.
Yeah.
It's been a good podcast.
All right, everybody. That's
about it.
But
I do think you have compassion. Like, the
I have huge compassion.
The way you are with your sister, I always remember that. You were so like caring and like worried. You worried about people. You worry a lot.
Yeah, a huge amount.
Yeah.
And I worry about people close to me in lots of ways. And sometimes I forget to share it, but then when it comes push comes shove, I'll be there 100%.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
But you can be flaky as fuck.
Fuck.
But when it comes down to it.
Yeah. I'm flaky with things that I don't think mean it, but then when it comes to meaning it, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Which is true. And I've worked, that's my weakness is my flakiness. But my flakiness would come from people pleasing. Worst thing in the world.
Mm.
I would try and please everyone in the circle.
You tell everyone you're going to see them on Friday.
Yeah,
and
see
then
one.
You pick the best.
Yeah, pick the best option.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's a really awful trait.
Do you still do that?
Yeah, I occasionally can do it.
Ooh.
No, when there is bad, and then I call myself out on it.
Though. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, which is really bad. That was Lucy Watson at number two. But what is it going to be at the number one slot? That's what they're all saying.
What's it going to be? Christmas number one.
Give me a drum roll, baby. And in first place, it's the biggest, most listened to episode we've done in 2023. It's our good friend, Spencer Spenny Matthews.
Yeah. Is he the most listened to episode?
Most listened to episode of the whole
year.
He
always is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Don't tell him that.
We won't tell him anything. Now, in this clip, we talk about why he left MIC, giving up alcohol, and also having therapy. Real emotional one.
Gets pretty deep.
Here we go. At number one, it's Mr. Spencer Matthews. I was just so impressed with you. Like, if truthfully, this is like our friendship definitely started as that. And you know, I was just so impressed. But I was like, I was almost like in awe of you, because you would go out, you'd drink, you would chat to girls. You had this air of confidence I just never seen before. And that's never really left. And that was so amazing about it. But you then started to really not like doing Main Chelsea and you left. And why did you leave it?
It just felt inauthentic to me. And I think, you know, I was on it for a very long time. So my character had turned, you know, well and truly dark from being the kind of like lovable one with, you know, oh, who am I going to date? Is it going to be, you know, Funder or Kagi? Oh, like what a, you know, and it was all kind of real for me. Like at the beginning, I was dating Funder. I fancied Kagi. It was a problem. Like that was a real life problem that I was having to navigate, like in the show.
Most people wouldn't share that though, but you were happy to share all that.
Yeah, but I wanted the show to be as successful as it could be. I wanted the show to be real. I wanted it, like, it was a reality television show. Like, I didn't want to be told what to feel and what to say, right? Which kind of is the case now, I feel. And it's sort of, you know, I remember Funder thinking I was crazy, like, when I told her. Like, she was like, I literally thought this was for the show. And I was like, it is for the show, but it's real. And we broke up that very second. She was like, right, well, this is over then. And I was like, all right. Like she thought it was a storyline.
Really?
Yeah. She thought it was a storyline. So, and she was great, by the way. Like, she was she was the most amazing girlfriend. Yeah. Like, I was just
young
and confused.
Yeah.
So, but it was
and
real.
And drinking a lot. Like, that's never a good combo.
Yeah. And I just felt that, I wanted the show to be authentic. I wanted it to be real. I wanted the problems that people were facing on the show to be real. I wanted the reactions to be real. You know, so that people could really buy into it. And I guess over time, they felt manipulated to me. And, you know, our massive fight was an example of that. Mm. Like, I felt like that situation was, and we don't need to go into it in great detail, but I felt like that situation was a little bit manipulated.
Mm, you can listen to that on Spencer's pod, Big Fish. We talk about it on that. Okay, all these things happen, right? You look, we don't need to go into it, but we know, you know, you go and do the jungle, that doesn't work out well. Lots of things, you're just, your life is not heading in the right direction. You're and I remember you like talking to me. You had like £500 in your account and you're in pretty bad state.
Yeah, yeah.
You're drunk, you're drinking a lot.
Mm.
When is the turning point where you suddenly go, do you know what? Fuck this. I can't do this anymore. I'm gonna give it all up. Because that's hard. Because that's changing your whole life. 8 years, 9 years, 10 years.
Yeah. I guess because, you know, my family has got means, I never felt any pressure, I suppose, to go out and make my own life, right? So like, I always knew that there would be food on the table and I always knew there'd be a roof over my head. But those feelings began to make me feel like a real loser, right? When I was watching my dad and what he was building and my brother and what he was building. And I was, you know, pissed a lot of the time, just not really thinking about my next move, not really understanding how to generate wealth, not really understanding how to put myself in a proper presentable position in which to succeed. And it began to grate at me that, and Vogue was a massive catalyst for my sobriety, right? Because she is like you, right? She's one of the most hardworking people you can imagine. She has zero time to sit down and read her book. You know, nothing, zero. She is the best mother. She is so busy and just clear-minded. She doesn't drink very much. That made me realize that my drinking habits and patterns were unusual because I thought she was unusual, right? Like we'd be sitting there and I'd drain a bottle of wine watching a film with her and she'd not have any. And I'd just be like, it's a bit awkward, you know, like type of thing.
And you're not even that drunk by that point. You're just like,
just getting warmed up. Yeah. And she would say like, you know, do you feel like you need to be drinking? Or like, you know, I'd have a whiskey like at home, kind of just with her, like on my own. And she'd just be like, wouldn't you drink like when you're out having fun? And I'd just be like, it's just, you know, it's just one drink. It's just one drink, or like whatever. And so I began to feel like, oh God, maybe I drink too much. And like she was, her career was kind of just beginning to move in real ways. And she was starting to kind of properly grow. And I felt like I might get left behind. And she was pregnant as well. And I felt that I didn't want my kid to be born into a world where his father was a bit of a loser and mummy was doing everything. And that was a big thing for me. I was just like, I need to change that.
Do you go to therapy to help that?
I did speak to, like, I'm not a huge therapy person. Like I have had therapy. I often find that I can hit a bit of a plateau if I'm not challenged by someone. Like, you know, like I get comfortable in therapy quite quickly because, like, I don't mind saying that I kind of know how to navigate this. Like, I tell the truth, but like I kind of know how to steer the conversation, I suppose. So I didn't really feel that therapy was that challenging. The best therapy I ever had was when I started going sober and I went to see Chip Summers and he sat opposite me. Again, this is in Big Fish, so apologies if there's some crossover, but he looked at me and he literally went, when was the last time you had a drink? And I said, yesterday. And I purposefully had not drank that day because I wanted to arrive at this stupid meeting sober. And he said, you absolutely reek of whiskey. He said, like, when the next client comes in, I'm going to have to tell them that I haven't been drinking. That's how bad you smell of whiskey. And I just said, well, you know, I'm not sure if that's true. And he was like, it's true. He's like, you need to take a good look at yourself. He's like, you are a mess, honestly. He's like, I know you don't particularly want to be here, but if you're wondering why you're not where you need to be, that's why. You're a fucking mess.
I like how I introduced that just then and you were mouthing Spencer Matthews.
Spencer Matthews.
Okay, everybody, that is the rundown of the top five episodes of the year. Again, I hope you had the most amazing Christmas and New Year. 2024 is going to be an incredible year. I'm wishing you all of the luck and sending you good vibes and everything for the upcoming year. Thank you so much for listening. We absolutely adore every single one of you. And if you want to check out all of our socials and videos, you can at Private Podcast, Instagram and TikTok and Private Parts on YouTube.
Bang.
All right, everybody. Here's Bang. To 2024. Fireworks, camera,
play action. Us out.
Go.
Bang.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.